Okay, committee will come back to order. If some of you didn't get paper copies, it's posted online, if I'm not mistaken, but we are printing 50 more copies also, so in a very short period of time, there should be some more copies here. So I think with that, I'll just have my staff go through the bill and just let you know what's in it for right now, and we can then go from there. So, Mr. Knopf, do you want to start?
Mr. Chair, members, I'll be working from the document labeled at the top, ag.env.nr. And so, Mr. Chair, the first page is just standard language. On the second page, we've got some base riders, but I wanted to point out one thing. On 2.4 to 2.7, there was some discussion in committee about the animals. This is for wolves taking livestock, and there was some concern that the department had run out of money this past year, and so this would allow money in this appropriation to be clearly used for animals that were destroyed or crippled during 2014 and 2015. So I wanted to point out that that's in there. Also on 2.22, you've got Senator Sparks' noxious weed bill, Senate File 1389. We have that included. On the top of page 3, you'll see just a rider that talks about increased inspection services. You will notice that that most of the fees that were recommended in the agriculture area are not included in this draft. So that's a placeholder for money to be included. And then, Mr. Chair, we have base riders, the remainder on page 3. On page 4, on 4.18, you'll see the agricultural exports to Cuba, the language that with Senator Sparks presented on Senate File 1733. On 4.27, Senator Coonan had a bill, Senate File 1749. That's for the food hubs. And then on page 5.10, or on line 5.10, we have Senator Herr presented a bill on urban agricultural grants, and that's Senate File 534. And then on the bottom of page 5, we've got the standard rider for Agri. And then that pretty much, including the next gen on the next page and on section 6, those are pretty standard, including in the base on page bottom of page 7, you'll see the $1 million a year for county fairs. And that was, again, carries over from 2 years ago. On the top of page 8, you have the money for the bioeconomy bill of Senator Saxog, Senate File 517. And then on the balance in page 8 are pretty standard riders. Page 9 are the standard are the riders we've been carrying for the various programs. On page 10, on 10.13, you'll see a grant for that Senator Schmidt had a bill, Senate File 969. It's just continuing funding for the second harvest farm to food shelf program. If you remember last year, there was a one-time money for that. This would be continuing that program. And then on page 11, on 11.10, there was a fiscal note for Senator Coonan's bill. You'll see that included later in the draft. And this is to provide the money for the livestock industry study from Senate File 1271. On the bottom of page 11.33, you've got the Sparks Senate File 1993, the research and education and technology transfer, and that continues through 12.15. And then, Mr. Chair, members, on 12.16, we have Senator Dietzick presented the bill the other day on Senate File 1480, and this includes the steam part of it. Some of that money was going to, I think it was the deed, and this is the money that was in the bill going to the Department of Agriculture for the steam part of it. And then, Mr. Chair, we have the standard language on the bottom, but there's a new Section 5 here. This was just presented over in Senator Sparks' committee, and it's the avian influenza emergency response, and you see the new language on the top of page 13. This is the governor's request for additional money in fiscal year 2015 to deal with the additional costs, non-federal costs for avian influenza for both the Department of Agriculture and the Board of Animal Health. And then, Mr. Chair, Starting with the statutory sections, the section one was recommended by the agency, and this is just a technical because this program is being, the shared savings loan program is being repealed and moved to a new program. Section two, starting at the bottom of page 13, this was Senator Hurst's bill, Senate File 534 on the Urban Agriculture Development Grant. You will notice that the term pilot has been inserted, that the chair requested that to be done as a pilot program. And then, so Mr. Chair, in fact, you'll see an expiration date on 14.22 to come back for additional money and additional program. And then there's going to be a number of sections here that were requested by the agency dealing with the pesticide law and the structural pest control applicators. And then also on certain other requirements within the pesticide law to ensure that people who purchase restricted use pesticide. A lot of these are also contained in Senator Sparks' bill, Senate File 1459, but they were also part of the governor's bill, and so they've been included here. Section 8, dealing with cooperative agreements, is also included. And then we've got the phytosanitary and export certification. This was recommended by the governor. Bottom of page, the certificate fees for that. There's a change that in how the fees will work for the phytosanitary certificates, and that was recommended by the governor, is included here. The definition of nursery stock does not include sod is also included here as part of the recommended by the administration. Also on page 18, all that language has been recommended by the administration. Same with the language on page 19, which includes this is all part of the governor's budget, which includes a payment for those nursery stock growers that are found operating without a valid nursery stock grower certificate. And then, Mr. Chair, there is a change from the administration at the top of page 20. The administration on 20.33, the administration was talking about removing the $50 per hour rate and putting a rate insufficient. The chair asked to have that be no more than $75 an hour. And then on starting with section 16, we're going to have a number of sections that are all part of the bill that was actually passed out of this division the other day, Senator Eakin's bill dealing with industrial hemp. And that starts on 20.6. And that carries through all the way. I'm not going to go through any detail because the committee discussed this bill and passed it out. And it is as the division amended it. It goes all the way through section 42 on page 28. And there will be a couple of additional sections that are one on codified and one in a later chapter that were also in that bill. Starting on section 43, this is the seed law changes. These are the changes that were recommended by the administration. My understanding is that they're the same as what's on the Senate floor for Senator Sparks' bill, Senate File 1459, including page 30, page 31, except the bottom of page 31, section 50 is Senator Dibble's Senate File 1249. So this includes the language as it was in committee except for page 33, line 5 to 33.9, there's a change in the way this works in that everybody will have to be registered every 3 years, but only those over $5,000 will be required to pay a fee. Grocery receipts over $5,000, but otherwise it contains the language. In fact, when we get to the repealers, both of the current law repealers are included in this draft. And then, Mr. Chair, section 51, we begin a number of sections dealing with Senator Saxhog's Senate File 517, and those continue all the way through, and I won't go into detail. I just want to point out one change that I made that was requested by the people representing the certified public accountants. You'll see it, there's three places, but you'll see it, I'll show it to you on one. On 36.15, you see that the word firm was added. Apparently they licensed firms and not individual people. And so that was requested by former Senate staff who works for them. And so in all three places where that term was used, the word firm has been added. That's the only difference between the way the committee saw the Senate File 17, and that goes all the way through on 41.5, on page 41. And then 56, we have the section, Senator Sparks, Senate File 1993, Research Education Extension and Technology Transfer Grant Program. And so that's the language that you heard the other day on that. And now we're going to get a number of sections. The Rural Finance Authority is kind of is changing the way the accounting goes for the fees that are already in existing law when they charge an application fee, usually $50, and they're creating a new administrative account in the Special Revenue Fund. So this is just, these are very technical changes to allow for that account to be used and to provide the cross-references. And then on page 44, this is also, section 64 is also related to the recommendation of the governor, and includes that on 44.15 to ensure that the disaster recovery loan program includes restoring farmland. And then we'll also get a number of technical sections after that, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69 is again a more of a technical section dealing with one of the Rural Finance Authority programs. To expand, it actually expands the, there's a pilot microloan program, section 69, and under current law it can only be used for poultry, the only livestock can be used for are poultry that have been allowed access to the outside sheep or goats. This would expand it more broadly for the pilot microloan program. And then section 70 is a new program I mentioned earlier. This replaces a shared savings loan program that's being repealed in the bill, or the repeal. Instead of in the Commissioner of Agriculture, it's going to be through the Rural Finance Authority. Again, a recommendation of the administration. Section 71 is a technical related to that change. Section 72, that came from Senate File 618, the industrial hemp bill. Section 73 is the Correctional Facility Butcher Training Pilot Program. Senator Tomasoni, that was heard in Senator Sparks' committee earlier this session, and that's included here. Section 74 is technical, dealing with the change in the accounts. Section 75, and I do want to make sure I point this out, it's the livestock industry study that was in Senator Coonan's bill. It does include the language because it was amended by the division. This language doesn't, I know there's been some further discussion about that, but as of now, the language on 5.07, including but not limited to the impact of lawsuits filed for nuisance actions against poultry and livestock farms, is still included here. I just want to make sure people know that because it was an action by the division and I feel the ability to take it out.
Well, and I think Senator Latz thought the whole bill might have to go to his committee if we don't take it out. So we'll probably be taking it out tomorrow. Okay.
All right, I will suspend flapping my arms and jumping up and down.
And you can make the motion, or Senator Weber can make the motion, one or the other, I don't care. Anyway, go ahead.
And Mr. Chair, then you see the repealer. The first one, 17.115, that's a shared saving loan program. I mentioned that earlier. The second part, the 28A.15, those two subdivisions, those are the current food exemptions. Those are from Senator Dibble's bill. And the last one, 41A.12, that's the sunset. There's a current law sunset on the agri program. This would repeal the sunset. This was actually recommended by the administration. We'll move on to Article 3, Environment and Natural Resources. And Mr. Chair, we have standard language on 50 and 51. 52, we've got base riders. I won't go into. This is the Pollution Control Agency. On page 53, starting at 53.7, this is part of the contents of Senate File 1659 as it was amended in division. This was Senator Eakin's bill dealing with the Red River area. And so that's included here starting at 53.7. And that goes through the top of on the top of page 54. Under the air program, we've just got the base riders that are included under that. Under the land program, we have starting on 55.8, we've got the base riders for Superfund and for the petrol fund. On page 55, page 56, we have the base riders through 56.11, and on 56.12, we have a chair initiative to use the remediation fund for a grant to the City of Mountain Iron for remediation of the former Nichols Township. And then, Mr. Chair, we've got an Environment Assistance and Cross Media. We've got the standard base riders for SCORE and other environmental assistance and the harmful chemicals and other feedlots and everything else that is in there. I won't go through detail on page 57. These are the base appropriation, base riders. On page 58, we've got base riders, including the transfer in Subdivision 6 to the Remediation Fund. And there is a transfer also, and we'll be dealing with this tomorrow in the spreadsheet. This is some language placeholder for a transfer from the CLIF Fund. There'll be more discussion about that tomorrow, but on 58.28, that transfer would transfer money from the CLIF Fund. And then Section 3, Natural Resources. We've got some base language all the way through the end of page 59. 60, all base language. Yes. And then page 61, all base language that we've had in there before. Page 62, we have some new language on 62.23. Senator Wieger had a bill, Senate File 1641, and this is some money for to look at constructing wastewater treatment facilities in White Bear, to report on constructing a wastewater treatment facility in White Bear, near the White Bear Lake area, or also design and construction to supply it from Sucker Lake in Clause 2 at the top of page 63. And then also with Senator Eakin's bill, we heard the other day, 1659, we had the farmstead ring levies, and that's on 63.11. That's from Senator Eakin's Senate File 1659 as amended in committee. Bottom of page 63, we've got the standard language for forest management with fire suppression and pre-suppression. And also, this provides an open appropriation to the general fund for their fire fighting activities. And then, Mr. Chair, we've got the standard riders again until they get to the bottom of page 64.31. We start the pilot program that Senator Saxock presented to the division, Senate File 424 on increased forest maintenance through the timber contracts. And then on 65.8, we have another chair's initiative on providing a cell phone transmitter on Side Lake. And then, Mr. Chair, in Parks and Recreation bottom, we've got the standard base riders for the various funding sources for Parks and Recreation. Same with page 66. On 67, we have on 67.5. This includes the funding that the bill that Senator Sparks, Senate File 266, to create a new water trail in the state. And this is the kind of the normal process where they get some money from the water recreation account that is available until spent. They can use on marking water trails in the state. And then section or 67.13, this is also a chair's initiative related to the money for the city of Virginia for the cost of supporting the trail groups that are rerouting of U.S. Highway number 53. 67.18, that's from Senate File 1550, Senator Schmidt, dealing with money for the master plan for the Mississippi Blufflands Trail. On 67.24, this is a DNR request for money for a grant to the city of East Grand Forks for payment under reciprocity agreement for the Red River State Recreation Area. On 67.28, we have Senator Bach presented a bill earlier this year, Senate File 49, dealing with capturing the money, the federal money coming back from reimbursement from McQuaid Harbor. And then we go move to page 68, the top of page 68 is just a continuation of that rider. On 68.20, we heard Senator Schmidt's bill the other day, Senate File 631. This is as the division amended the bill to include traps, keep, and archery. And we'll see some statutory language later in the bill that was also amended by the division. Bottom of page 68, we've got enforcement and general language. Same as page 69, that's the general language. Page 70, the long-term language. On page 71, in operations support, we have the base rider for the zoos, and then we have, there's also the governor request, there's a rider on 71.18 for legal costs related to water management. And then, Mr. Chair, there's also another chair's initiative, 71.22, that prohibits money appropriated to DNR being spent on a new contract for a call center that is located outside of the state of Minnesota, the chair's initiative. bottom page 71, we get into the Bowser riders. Those are base riders. Same with page 72 are base riders. 73 through 73.33 are just base riders of the Bowser. 73.34, we have the language. This was in Senator Saxog's bill, Senate File 517, and it's creating that the new Working Lands Watershed Restoration Program that was in Senator Saxog's bill, Senate File 517, and that's the rider for the money. And then, Mr. Chair, we've got base riders on page 74, and also 75, and then, Mr. Chair, we'll get into the statutory language. Section 1, this was Senator Scoy's bill, and I just wanted to point out, especially if Senator Scoy's not here. There was an amendment that Senator Scoy made, an oral amendment, to clarify that it was main pipeline, and it conflicted with the paragraph above it. And we had one paragraph saying what you could use it for, and one paragraph saying, who is this applied to, one saying that who's not applied to. So rather than doing both, this just says who doesn't apply to. So we have the existing, and I think this is consistent with what Senator Scoy's amendment would be to clarify in paragraph B now what it doesn't apply to. And so I think that's consistent with the amendment he offered. It's kind of more of a, there's some cleanup by me to make it fit. And then, Mr. Chair, Section 2, this is Senator Hoffman, Senate File 1534, also governor's request dealing with the conservation needs and stewardship count. We'll see two of these. This is the DNRs. We're going to see the Board of, the Bowsers later in this article. And that goes through, we're on page 77. Sections 3 and 4, we heard Senator Bach's bill, Senate File 520, in committee. And there was a discussion about, rather than charging the smaller fee for those smaller snowmobiles, why not just exempt them from registration? So that's what this does. If you look now, there's a new Section 4 that would just provide that exemption, and we don't have a fee in place for those snowmobiles that are 125 cubic centimeters or less. And then there's a chair's initiative to deal with the all-terrain vehicle. There's been some problems with some of the law changes on the weight. And so what this does is sections 5, 6, and 7, and I think the important thing to note is on 6 and 7 is you've got this, instead of going by weight to determine whether you're class 1 or class 2, you'll do it based on the width from the rim of the tire rim to outside tire rim to determine, and this determines whether they ride in the ditch or whether they can ride on the shoulder of the road. And then, Mr. Chair, starting with Section 8, we've got some sections in here. Senator Saxog had a bill 669 that dealt with trying to fix up the invasive species trailer sticker program. What this includes, and we'll get to that later in the repealers, but what this includes is that is a kind of a change in the program. We're going to repeal that the existing trailer sticker, and then Section 8 defines what an aquatic invasive species affirmation is, and then you can see it's going to be required in two places when you're for residents to be their watercraft licenses, and for non-residents, fishing licenses. So that's where the affirmation to, and I won't go into too much detail, but that's going to replace the trailer sticker, and you'll see that goes through 79.20, and then 79.21, this is a DNR request to use money in the account. It was also in Senate File 1303 on the invasive species account to broaden the use. Section 12, this is the Mississippi Bluffland's Trail. We saw the money earlier. This is for Senator Schmidt, Senate File 1550. And then on Section 13 on page 80, we have the governor's request for the increase in park fees. This includes that increase. Section 14, this is Senator Sparks, Senate File 266. Again, adding the Shell Rock River to the list of canoe routes. We call them water trails. And then, Mr. Chair, Section 15, this again deals with the replacement for what was in Senate File 669, dealing with the aquatic invasive species affirmation. This is the part that's in the watercraft registration. We'll see the non-resident fishing license later. Section 16, Senator Schmidt, Senate File 631, again, as amended by the division the other day, adding skeet and archery and local units of government is eligible. Section 17 was a DNR request that the Forrest Bow account, a bow account, if Forrest Bow's in the room. And then that was also in Senate File 1430, but it the request of the department to include it here because it does change the way the money works in that account. And then, Mr. Chair, Section 18, this was Senator Bach, Senate File 1008. As it was heard in committee, now the only difference is if you look on 82.31, 82.32, there was an effective date added that makes sure that the department doesn't have to go back and refund people. So at this change between the 5,000 and 10,000, it applies to permits sold on or after that date. And so that's a slight change from when you saw the bill last time. Section 20, this was Senator Tomasoni's bill, dealing with adding excluding university lands from the requirement or from the prohibition on sale of land on Meander Lakes. This is in Senate File 1460. It was passed on the Finance Committee from the Policy Committee earlier this session. And Mr. Chair, on page 84, we've got on 85, we have a couple of chairs initiatives. Section 21 would make ferrous and non-ferrous rules consistent on the way they treat the waste facilities. Section 22 on the top of page 85 provides for direct judicial review for a ruling or decision of the commissioner for a permit to mine. Section 23, again, a DNR request included here. This is the Citizen Oversight Committee, the Budget Oversight Committee. And if you look on page 86, they were set to expire June 30th of this year. This would give them another 5 years. Section 24 is the contents of Senator Bach's bill, Senate File 281, dealing with residents over age 84 or over to take a deer of either sex. Section 25, this is again to replace the contents of Senate File 669, Senator Sachs. It's the Aquatic Invasive Species Affirmation. Section 26, we're going to get a number of sections, although there'll be other things interspersed, dealing with Senate File 1515, Senator Marty, dealing with the Wetland Conservation Act modifications that the division heard a few weeks ago and then set aside. And then Section 27, this again was in Senator Hoffman's bill, Senate File 1534, and the governor's request. This is the Bowser easement stewardship account. And then Section 28 on page 88, that's it, was again from Senator Marty's Senate File 1515. And that goes all the way through page 89. And the top of page 90, and the top of page 91, Section 29, this is the language, this is the, I mentioned earlier, the appropriation of working lands watershed restoration. This was in Senate File 517, Senator Sachsauer bill committee heard the other day. And then Section 30, again, this was in Senate File 1515, Senator Marty's bill. And then now a number of sections, I'm going to do page numbers. So page 92 was in the Wetlands Conservation, was in 1515, page 93, page 94, page 95, page 96, page 97, page 98. Now, there's one change I want to alert you. If there's somebody here from Bowser, there was in a later section, actually on the next page, they were eliminating local government units' approval of wetland banking plan. They're removing language to that effect. It wasn't done here, so I think as a technical, I thought it should be done the same way. They can review that, let me know if that's a problem. But on 98.13, that's a slight difference from the Marty bill, Senate File 1515. And then Marty bill goes all the way through 99.22. Section 38 on page 99, we have a chairs initiative dealing with appeals under the Wetland Conservation Act. And that you'll see the language on 100.28 dealing with how permit to mine are handled as far as appeals. Section 39 was in Senate File 1515. And then Section 40 was in Senate File 1515, but we have a chairs initiative in Section 41 dealing with the Wetland Conservation Act. And you'll see that you can see above in Section 40 the fees that the that the board is able to assess on the for banking. And there's a, if you look on 102.3, you'll see a withdrawal fee of 6.5% of the credits withdrawn. What this does is says that 1/2 of those fees, whether it's under that paragraph or under paragraph B where they can do alternative fees, must be paid to the county. So 1/2 of the fees collected by the board where the property for the wetland is located. The amount paid to the county shall be distributed as follows: 1/3 to the school district, 1/3 to the city or organized township, and 1/3 to the county. If the property is located in an unorganized township, the county shall retain the township share. And then section 42, that was part of Senator Marty's Senate File 1515. Section 43, this is the this is an agency request. This came in late. They were asking, if you look on 103.24, you'll see that it had a statutory appropriation for 2 years. This is for that paint stewardship program that was enacted 2 years ago. And the agency was asking to have the to have this permanent, and it came in late, so I talked to the chair. We gave them 2 more years of this, and they can come back and if they want to if they want to talk about it more. But this would at least allow them to spend the money they're collecting under the current architectural paint stewardship program. And then section 44 was in the governor's bill. It kind of redoes the some of the fee language for the air fees. To clarify, I'm assuming this would make current practice fit with the law. We're usually doing these things. And then, Mr. Chair, section 45 on page 105. These are the transfers to the stewardship account. They were part of Senate File 1534, Senator Hoffman. And then, Mr. Chair, the report, section 46, that was part of the Senate File 1515 dealing with the Wetland Conservation Act changes. Section 47, this is a DNR request to have included here. This is a spearing ban lift on a number of lakes. This would save them some money because they could go through a quick, everybody's kind of on board with this, to go through a quick rulemaking process rather than going through it. And then also the refunds for the youth bear license, where the department was charging the wrong license for the youth bear licenses, so they can repay those. On page 107, section 49, the wild rice water quality standards. This was from Senate. This is a slightly modified version of a delete everything amendment that Senator Tomasoni presented a few weeks ago, dealing with what wild rice water quality standards and what the agency can do during the interim while they're going through. And there's also money in here for those to go through the rulemaking and to as part of this. Section 50, this was also part of the amendment to our Senate File 1659 as the division amended the bill, dealing with minimum water quality standards for the Red River area. Section 51, this deals with the working lands watershed restoration. This was part of Senator Sackstack's Senate File 517. That's included here. And then on page 108, it's another chair's initiative on the cost analysis of water quality standards. This would provide some money provided as appropriation, but this would provide a limitation on contracting with a non-state entity for engineering on the cost of the new rules. And paragraph D on 109.18 says that they can't acquire additional wastewater treatment until 45 legislative days after the report is submitted. Section 53 is a revisor instruction requested by the administration to alphabetize the definitions in 103G.005. That is a very large section of definitions, and it's been added to over a number of years. We've tried to keep them, but it's been impossible to keep them all alphabetized. And then we've got the repealers. The first one, 84.68, that's the Forest for the Future Stewardship. That's paragraph A. And again, that's being repealed because that was also in Senator Hoffman's bill dealing with the new stewardship accounts for consolidating stewardship for all DNR lands, or all easements held by DNR. And then paragraph B, that's the repeal of the trailer sticker requirement. And paragraph C, that is repealing the cliff repayment language, the closed landfill investment fund. So that would just repeal that language and start from scratch again. I mentioned the rider earlier dealing with the transfer. And then, Mr. Chair, just to point out that, you know, I should point out that the, when this bill, if this bill gets enacted at some point soon, paragraph B, or the trailer language, would be repealed the day following final enactment. And then I also attached, had attached the repealers that are in the bill, so if you want to look at to see, to check to see what the repealers are and what they do, all the repealers are included in the appendix to this document. And Mr. Chair, that's the end.
Okay. Mr. Mueller, you've got a section.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be dealing with Article 5, which are the appropriation, it's the appropriation article for jobs, economic development, and housing appropriation. It's the separate document from the one we're working on, that Mr. Knopf is working off of. The most of this is all base and language. The first section, Section 2, is the appropriation language for Department of Employment Economic Development. All the language on page 1 is base language. On page 2, this is there's on line 2.5 is the first specified amount under the Minnesota Investment Fund. This is with the aircraft manufacturing facility, Senator Reinhart bill that Senator Bach presented. Clause 3 on line 2.22 is a new initiative for a separate amount under MIF for the biochemical facility that uses cellulosic feedstock. Under the next page is a, at the top of it is the base rider for the job creation fund. The all the way through lines 3.18 are also base riders. 3.18 is the appropriation for the, it's the competitive grant program for business development. And I want to point out some new language on line 3.23 all the way down to 3.31, which says that anyone who has received a grant under this program in the previous biennium, either through the competitive program or named specifically, would also be, as long as they apply for a new grant, would get that same amount. And we'll see that same language on, there's two other competitive grant programs, indeed, that that same language has been added. Bottom of the page, clause F is a base rider for the Job Skills Partnership. Next on page 4, clause G, H, and I are all base riders for the Minnesota Film TV Board. J is also on line 4.24 is a base program for the host community economic development program, but you'll see starting on lines 4.28 there's a specified amount for a harbor project and also a specified amount on line 4.32 for a 4.31 or 4.32 for the reconstruction and expansion of a runway in Duluth. Clause K on the bottom of page 4 and over to page 5 is the workforce housing grant pilot program that was actually last year in the tax bill. The pilot program is going to run for 2 years, or so there was a there was an amount that we'll appropriate this year for that. And then starting on line 5.6 is the new housing, permanent housing grant program, workforce housing grant program that was from Senator Stumpf's Senate File 468. So we're finishing one pilot program and then starting a new permanent program. 5.14 is from Senator Sharon Bill, Senate File 1198 for the Small Business Development Centers. 5.27 is this from the Senator Metzen, Senate File 477 is a grant to the City of Second Class. Next, on the workforce development, indeed, starting on page 6, the first one here is the clause A is the appropriation for the adult workforce competitive grant program. Then again, on line 6.11 through 6.19, you'll see that language that says that previous grantees will be awarded the same grant in, under this program. The rest of the page are all base riders. Over to page 7 is the Youth Workforce Development Competitive Grant Program. And again, you'll see on line 7.7 to 7.15 is the language saying previous grantees will get the same amount. The under 7.18 clause F, there's a base. This is a base appropriation, but on lines 7.21 through the rest of the paragraph is the specified amount under for the Emerging Workforce Coalition under Center Champion, Senate File 1917. Clause G at the end of page 7 is a base rider. Clause H and I on the next page are both base riders. On line 8.18 is from a Senator Pappas's, Senate File 1746. Clause K is a specific grant to Occupation Development Corporation. Clause L on line 8.30 is appropriation for a medical leave insurance program. This from Senate File 1779, Senator Sieben bill. And all the language from that carries over to the next page, to page 9. Top of page 10 is the appropriation rider for the Rural Career Counseling Coordinator positions in the Workforce Service Areas. This is from Senate File 420, Senator Saxhog. Lines 10.11 is a rider for the Eastside Enterprise Center from Senate File 1998, Senator Herr. 10.21 is a grant to the Ujamaa Place. This is a Senator Cohen late intro bill. 10.26 is the grant to the Northern Bedrock Historic Preservation for the recruitment of the Preservation Corps. This is a Senate File 2070, Senator Coonan. Over to page 11 is a base rider. Is under General Support Services for DEED. The first clause A is a base rider. Clause B is a specific appropriation for the Olmsted Implementation Office. This was in the governor's budget. Under the Minnesota Trade Office, all those riders are base riders. Vocational Rehabilitation, that's a base rider. All the way through page 12, line 12.10. In the governor's proposal, he has a separate appropriation for the regular extended employment services and then a separate rider for rate increases. So right now we're carrying both the riders for that, for the regular base appropriation and the rate increases. Clause E is a base rider. Clause F on 12.22 is from a Senator Schmidt bill. This would fund the program that was established in statutes last year for, it's a grant program for employment services for persons who are deaf, deafblind, and hard of hearing. Senator 12.28 is a from a Senator Tomasoni bill, Senate File 394 for assistive technology grants. On to page 13, clause H is from a Senator Hoffman, Senate File 1155 bill for, this would do some grants for under the Olmsted plan. Then clause I there on 13.10 specifies that Minnesota Diversified Industries are an eligible provider for person with for the programs under this subdivision. Services for the blind, that's a base rider. Under broadband, all the language here for the broadband was all in the governor's bill. Subdivision 9, transfer. This is some language, similar language to what we had in a bill last year that directed a certain amount of money to be transferred out of the Minerals 21st Century Fund. deed works with the IRRB here to specify an amount for, again, a facility that uses cellulosic feedstock to produce chemicals. And that is it for deed. Section 3, we start Housing Finance Agency. Most of this language is straight out of the governor's bill, and our base is base language. So all the language on 14 and 15. And over to page 16 is all language that is base language. Or was in the governor's proposal. Again, through page 16 and 17, all the way through 18. Then on page, starting on page 19, line 19.29 is from a Senator Herr bill, Senate File 282. And this would fund some money for competitive grants to community organizations that provide the long-term training or long-term financial education training and help with home buyers, new home buyers. On the page 20, on the top of page 20, is the appropriation for the open access connection in the Senator Dedzic bill, Senate File 1568. That's it for the Housing Finance Agency. Section 4 is Explore Minnesota Tourism. This is all base language. And on page 21, I'll point out, starting on line 21.6, is will be a specified amount for the promotion of the Minnesota Golden Games. And this was actually in a bill, Senate File 2066, from Senator Thomasoni. Section 5, Department of Labor and Industry. This is all base language. I'll point out on lines 20.21 is from the governor's bill. The administration was requesting some additional money from the Workers' Compensation Fund for upgrading their IT systems. And that language carries over to page 22. The rest of the language on page 22 is all base budget riders. And that's it for labor and industry. On page 23, the Bureau of Mediation Services. These are all base riders, and I'll point out there's a rider here for the Public Employee Relations Board. This was added last year as a new portion of the Bureau, so that is now part of the base. And the rest of it are all base riders. Section 7 is the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals. That's base. On to Section 8 on page 24, we start the Department of Commerce. It's all base riders. The first new language is on line 24.27 is some language for the rulemaking costs associated with the MinVest registration from this bill we heard yesterday, Senate File 138, Senator Bonhoff. They needed some. The fiscal note had some rulemaking costs to it. Page 24, on to page 25 are all base riders, but I will point out on lines 25.14 through 25.21, those two clauses used to be combined into one appropriation, and a request by the LCC wanted the department, they requested that the Department of Administration do the grants to other agencies. It's the same total amount, and these are all money that comes from the TAM account. So that's a little bit of change from the governor's bill. Under enforcement, the lines 25.27 and 28 were in the governor's bill. The rest of the page 25, the energy resources, the first clause there is a base rider. The next two were in the governor's bill, funding for defense of Next Generation Act, and also allowing some unexpended general fund money to be used for as a cash flow account. Under insurance, the first item there, 26.20, was in the governor's proposal. And we have added new subdivision 9, starting on 26.22 for a Center Coonan bill, Senate File 925, allowing for the pre-purchase or propane pre-purchase program. This is where we would appropriate some general fund money and then get reimbursed when the LIHEAP money comes back from the federal government. We have a section I is the appropriation for the PUC. Under section 10 is some language we've had in budget bills that previously that would allow a transfer from the unemployment contingent account to be transferred into the general fund. And on paragraph B is some new language that the Job Skills Board has the authority, and we'll, there's some language later on in the bill in one of the other articles, that they may reallocate some surplus money out of the Workforce Development Fund. In this current fiscal year, they had reallocated about $12 million of surplus fund. And so right now we have some language in there that would cancel some of that money back to the Workforce Development Fund instead of being reallocated. Section 11 is allowing some legal fees to be paid to Itasca County in the event that they have to recover costs of a business subsidy agreement. And that is it for the appropriation article.
Mr. Chair, members, I'll continue then with Article 6, which is the Department of Labor and Industry provisions. The first four sections of this article relate to Governor's recommendation of a reduction of most license fees at the Department of Labor and Industry for 2 years, which is a proposal to balance the fees that are collected for licensing and the actual program costs for those for managing those license programs. So then when we go to that's the first four sections that we. On page 30, section 5, this is some fee structure adjustments, some decreases for the Office of Combative Sports. And then, so that actually concludes the Department of Labor and Industry article. On page 32, article 7 is the deed provisions. The first section is the, as Mr. Mueller mentioned, the Workforce Housing Grants Program for Senator Stumpf is going to be codified now. Before it was a pilot program, and this is Senate File 468. So this is the language that was in Senator Stumpf's bill. Section 2 is from the governor's bill, and this clarifies that the application fees that are collected for the Greater Minnesota Business Expansion Program would actually be deposited in a special account. Right now, it wasn't clear whether or not DEED would be able to use those application fees to administer the program. That same fix is also on page 34 in section 3 that allows those amounts collected to go into a special revenue fund for the business expansion administration. On page 35, section 4, this is some language that Mr. Mueller mentioned regarding the Job Skills Partnership Board. And this, you'll see on page on line 35.3, this language would require the Job Skills Partnership Board to make recommendations to the legislature for additional uses of the workforce development funds instead of being able to go ahead and use those funds without coming to the legislature first. In section 5, on page 35, this language was language that was not included in the original governor's budget, but was requested by D to include. This would allow incumbent worker training to be an allowable use for dislocated worker program funds. And that language is over on page 36. Section 6 on page 36 is from Senator Saxhog's bill, Senate File 420. This is some language providing for rural career counseling coordinator positions to be at each workforce service area as specified in the language in that section. On page 37, we begin several sections that are the result of the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council recommendations. And those are actually sections 7 through 21. So we can go all the way over to, and these are mostly housekeeping things that went through the Advisory Council process. So we go over to page 47. And at the top of page 47, section 22, this is a governor's proposal. This is a, this would allow protection from subpoena for vocational rehabilitation staff. Currently, they get subpoenaed. It takes a lot of time for this staff on matters that do not relate to the vocational rehabilitation program, like regarding child care and divorces. So the department is recommending that they are not subject to subpoenas for that reason. In section 23, this section relates back to the Workforce Housing Grants pilot program and makes some conforming changes that are the same now to the new statutory program for Senator Stump's Workforce Housing Grants program. Section 24 actually I will need to make a staff technical correction when we put the bill together. This will go probably in the Department of Labor and Industry article. This is a technical clarification that MMB has requested to a 2014 session law. You'll see that the changes are on page 48, and this would allow these appropriations to be available until June 30th, 2018 and 2019. Page 48, section 25 and 26. I will work with Mr. Mueller. Some of this language may be duplicative to the rider that he mentioned for the study and analysis for the paid family leave and leave medical leave program. So we can work on that, whether or not this is duplicative or not. Page 49, section 27 is this language is special unemployment benefit assistance relating to the recent mine layoffs. And this provision is consistent with past practice that the legislature has done and the unemployment program regarding permanent layoffs such as this. On page 50, section 28, this is for day training and habilitation grant program. This is from Senator Hoffman's Senate File 1155. That concludes the deed article. So on page 51, Article 8 is the Department of Commerce article. The first section was in the governor's bill, and this provision, section 1 and section 2, actually relate to the Guaranteed Energy Savings Program that allow for self-funding of that Guaranteed Energy Savings Platform. On page 52, section 3 is in a section that's been added that clarifies that that money that's paid in would not be available for salaries. This applies to domestic insurers that have international operations, but would not allow those expenses for salaries to be eligible from this money that's collected from each registered insurer. Section 4 is from Senator Bonoff's bill, Senate File 138, which we just heard yesterday, and that's the crowdfunding bill. That takes up a few pages, so 52, 53, 54, 55, over to page 64. Starting with section 6 on the bottom of page 64, this was a governor's recommendation regarding reimbursable costs for the petroleum tank cleanup when you're removing a tank, and would allow certain costs to be included for the reimbursable costs. Page 66 is Section 7. This was actually Senate File 201, Senator Peterson. This and this section and the and Section 8 and Section 9 all relate to the construction code cycle. This would put the construction code cycle on a six-year cycle. And in Section 8 would requires the commissioner to provide free copies of the code and provide a calculation of the cost of the department for providing those free copies to the public. And then Section 9 also it extends the date which a new rule is the effective date for rules that are under the construction code. On the bottom of page 67, Section 10 and Section 11 are related to the collection agency bill we heard from, the debt collector bill we heard from Senator Latz, Senate File 227. Section 12 on page 68 was from Senator Tomasoni, Senate File 1415, regarding a solar project at Camp Ripley. And then on page 69, Section 13 was from Senator Coonan's Senate File 925, requiring a report back on the propane pre-purchase that the Department of Commerce will do. Article 9 is the Iron Range Resources article, and most of this is housekeeping. If you look at it, there's some accounts that are being renamed, and the only provision that there is a provision in here that's the dedication of funds to an engineering program at Mesabi Range College. That's Section 18 on page 84. And so that would take us to the there's one repealer on page 87. This repeals an obsolete section that was regarding a long-range plan that was due in 2006. So we're getting rid of that section. In Article 10 is the Bureau of Mediation Services article. There are the first three sections are for the Public Employee Relations Board. This was a Senator Pappas bill, Senate File 794. And because the Bureau of Mediation Services will be working closely with the PERB, they are included in this section, in this article, I mean. And page 89, Section 4 would require the Commissioner of Mediation Services to work with labor management stakeholders to have a labor management stakeholder group to develop input and recommendations for better relations. And that is the bill.
Well, I'm assuming you all have a lot of questions, but if any of you have some burning questions right now you want to ask me, go ahead and we'll try and answer them. But Senator Osmond, or are you just holding on to the microphone?
Just move the microphone.
Okay, good. So, Senator Dietzick.
I do have a question, if I may.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 35, and this was the one where the use of the workforce development funds, where they shall make recommendations to the legislature for additional uses. Does that mean we have to approve them?
I guess, Mike, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Dietzick, we do appropriations every year, and they would make these recommendations after March 1st. So otherwise, surplus funds would just fall to the bottom line.
So it's implied that we, sorry, Mr. Chair, it's implied that we then get to then approve their recommendations.
Yeah, if you're not comfortable with that, we could change that.
I just want to make sure that it's, you know, implied and clarified. And
Senator Osmond.
Yes, Mr. Chair. This is actually, I mentioned Senator Herr. I'm sure he might have seen it. Page 10, line 16, that dividing that grant money, quote unquote, equally. You might want to take that word out of there, only because it really ties it.
And we'll do all that tomorrow, but go ahead if you want to comment.
Yeah, Senator Osmack, I talked to the three party involved, and they're comfortable with that. There's a way that it can work
with equally?
Yeah.
Okay.
That work. But I really appreciate you brought that up.
Senator Schmidt, did you have your hand up?
No, I didn't.
No, okay. Yeah, I was thinking. So, I apologize for not having numbers out because I realize it's really kind of hard to understand the whole thing without seeing how the appropriations go, but the spreadsheets don't come together quite as fast as the language do, and so we're working on the spreadsheet still, and we will have that out tomorrow before the committee. And then I'll have Mr. Mueller go through the spreadsheet so you can kind of line it up. I know there's people who are considering amendments to the bill, and this bill is a work in progress until tomorrow. And so we can tomorrow what we'll do is we'll entertain amendments and we'll try and insert the dollar amounts in the bill everywhere. So I guess Senator Osmak.
On the spreadsheet, Mr. Chair, are you going to have the last biennium so we can track it across? Sometimes I've seen in other committees where they won't provide us last biennium so we can track where we're going with money.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Osmak, I'll have to see how many columns I can fit, but probably last biennium totals, maybe not year by year, but I'll try to fit as much on as I can. So.
Okay. And if I understand how it's going to be done, the numbers still won't be in the bill, but they'll be on the spreadsheet. Okay, and then once we adopt the spreadsheet and the language, then we'll put it into a bill to be submitted to the floor. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
So, Mr. Chair, how long before we were able to do amendments? Are we going to have the spreadsheet?
Well, let's see how long.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I would assume that the spreadsheet would be available at the beginning of the committee. And if amendments to move, if you like to move money around or add money anywhere, you would have to, we could do that orally, say I want to move money from one part of the spreadsheet to another or on lines of the spreadsheet, and then that would be incorporated into, we'll adopt a spreadsheet at the end and then those numbers will go into the bill. But if you have an amendment that would want to move money around, we can make those oral amendments on the spreadsheet.
So, Mr. Chair, your intention then is to move this bill out of committee tomorrow?
Yes.
With all that going on beforehand?
Yes. And so we'll have the spreadsheet explained first by Mr. Mueller, so that's going to take him 45 minutes or so, half hour. Okay. But then I'm assuming that people will have certain amendments ready and available, but I understand your concern, so let me talk to you about it afterwards, okay? And other than that, I don't think we have anything else to do today. So what time is it tomorrow at noon?
Right.
We have session.
Yeah.
We have session tomorrow, so it'll be immediately after session. Hopefully, we start at noon. So, with that, meeting adjourned.
It's the liquor bill.
No. Billy.
It's the liquor bill.